Welcome to Salon Talks. I'm Mary Elizabeth Williams. I am sitting next to the glorious and looking fantastic, of course, Diane von Furstenberg. She is one of the most influential fashion designers in the world. Her iconic wrap dress turns 45 this year, doesn't look a day over 35, remains timeless, iconic, and she's been named one of Forbes' most powerful women in fashion, one of Time's most influential people in the world. She's an author, she's an entrepreneur, she's a philanthropist. This year she is celebrating the 10th anniversary of the DVF Awards. We're going to talk about that. And she is also the godmother of the Statue of Liberty. Now, what does it mean to be the godmother? Do you have to, like, take the Statue of Liberty to ball games and Broadway shows?
No, I know. It's... When they asked me to go on the board of the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island, I didn't want to, and then they came back and they made me read a book about the Statue of Liberty and all of those things. And then I, what they wanted me to do is raise the money to build a museum on Liberty Island, which actually will open on May 15. And I said, okay, I will do that, but I would like to have the temporary title of the godmother. So anyway, so as the godmother of the Statue of Liberty, I have raised $100 million to build this museum that will open in May 15. I have done a book with Rizzoli, a beautiful book on the Statue of Liberty that also is coming out in May. A documentary for HBO that will come the 4th of July, and an app with Apple. So,
Diane, what a perfect relationship. You seem the ideal person to be the godmother because you represent in so many ways the American dream of someone coming to this country and building something special and then giving back in so many different ways. So let's talk about the giving back. I want to talk about the DVF Awards, which are coming up. You do them in tandem with Women in the World.
Yes.
It's the 10th anniversary. Every year you honor extraordinary women, and the common bond is they are women who have devoted themselves to elevating, lifting up, supporting other women. That's a very special breed.
Right. Well, they have, what they all have in common and what the mission is, that they have had the courage to fight, the strength to survive, and the leadership to inspire. And that is basically the story of all these women, is that tragedy happened and they had the strength and then the courage to survive, and then once they survive, they use their voice in order to help others to survive.
And previous recipients have included Jane Goodall, Gabby Giffords. Let's talk about this year's roster, because they are really special, special women. I want to start with the big one, Anita Hill. There is a generation that I think discovered her just in the past year.
Yes.
With the Supreme Court hearings. My daughters, who are teenagers, really just learned about Anita Hill in the past year. And I was saying just
and there
recently,
was this wonderful documentary which refreshed everyone's memory.
She planted seeds.
Yes.
That took...
But what is amazing about Anita Hill, when you look back and you look at those scenes with these white men, harassing her and asking her and interrogating her in the most, private thing, making this black woman in front of all these white men, say the word penis and the pubic hair, and she does it with such strength and courage. And even though she's completely involved, there's a certain detachment about it that, and a certain, her strength is just so inspiring.
What I really was inspired by was reading what she has done recently, what she continues to do. She is blazing on so many different frontiers, and I was particularly interested that she is involved in gender equity and fighting workplace harassment, specifically in Hollywood. And I'm sure that is not a coincidence based on what has happened over the past couple of years. She's really out there creating opportunities for a new generation and educating a new generation.
Right. That's right. And yes, and she's back in style, you know. I mean, she's back, all of a sudden people know, oh, yes. But think about when she did it, she was so alone in the crowd.
And sexual harassment, really, I think it wasn't a conversation before. She
no.
really, not in a way that it was. And then it took 25 years
yes.
for it to then really come to the forefront again.
And it could very well disappear again, which is why we cannot stop the conversation.
Absolutely. And one of the other recipients you have this year, a very different choice, Katy Perry. Again, I have teenage daughters, so we love Katy Perry in our house. What made you choose her this year?
Well, you know, there's always, first of all, five women get the prize. Two come from the network of Vital Voices, because I'm on the board of Vital Voices. It's an extraordinary organization, and they have an amazing network of women.
And you're so going to be honored by them?
I am.
At the Kennedy Center.
Yes, and you know who's giving me the award?
No.
Nancy Pelosi.
Diane. Pretty cool.
I know. Maybe I'm not supposed to say it.
well, it's too late.
So the Vital Voices, so two international come from there. Then we have a committee and we select four women in this country who really are not well known for their organization. And then we have the public vote for them. But the reason why I use four is because I give exposure to four, even only one wins. Because at the end, yes, they get money, and yes, that's wonderful, but what is equally wonderful is the exposure. And a lot of them, you know, after this, they get the CNN hero, and it goes on. So going back to Katy Perry, so we always have one inspirational one who is better known already. You know, so that, again, if you have a better known person other than a Lifetime, you get more exposure. So Gabby Guilford got it, and who else got the Alicia Keys, and this year is Katy Perry. So Katy Perry is a very interesting woman because she really does use her voice, you know. She uses her voice for people who have no voice. And in her case, she chooses children.
And
she's an ambassador to the UNICEF.
And she also works a lot with the LGBTQ Absolutely. Community. And she has been very candid in her own expression of her gender experiences. And I'm so thrilled seeing this generation of mostly women entertainers talking about gender, talking about fluidity, and talking about it not just with their voices but also with their style. And I think Katy Perry is a great example of that. Her personal style really represents her beliefs.
No, she's an extraordinary person. You know, her parents were ministers, you know, so she was thrown on stage as a child as they were collecting money. She was supposed to sing.
Diane, I'm married to a PK. I know all about it.
What's a PK?
Preacher's kid.
Oh.
They're a different breed, and so that's why I love Katy.
PK. Well, you see, you learn everything.
So that's Katy, and she's going to be amazing. But let's talk about, you know, you mentioned these other women who are lesser known, who are doing extraordinary work, very different kinds of work. And as you mentioned, this award gives money to them to continue their work. And I was so struck by all of the stories, but I was particularly struck by one, by a story that is really about redemption.
You mean Susan Barton? Yes. Yes. It's funny because, you know, when I voted, like everybody else, on the four, and I voted for her, thinking that no one was going to vote for her, but everybody voted for her. She's extraordinary. I mean, she was in jail, and her child died, and you know, when you go to jail, you know, there's that horrible spiral down that you don't get a second chance, and it just goes down and down. And she was given a chance, and by being given a chance, she decided that that was going to be her life cause, and that's what she did.
And she has turned around and really creates opportunities for other women who are incarcerated have been recently incarcerated. It's so important because this is a culture that doesn't necessarily is not very strong on forgiveness.
Not at all.
And is not very strong on redemption. And if you have a strike against you, it's now we live in where everybody.
It's not so much on forgiveness, but you, it's a stigma. You know, the stigma, and then you can never make it up again.
Mm-hmm. If you have been something at one point in your life.
Second chance is the most important thing. The most important thing. Because if you're given a second chance, you actually truly, truly appreciate it. And therefore, you know what difference it makes.
Absolutely. I always feel that way. That the people who have had to work for it, or the people who know what it's like to have things taken away from them, are the people who are going to work the hardest for you. Absolutely. And you've been up and down in your own career and and all over.
But everyone is. I mean, there's no life that goes up, 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 up. I mean, it doesn't. That's not life. I mean, there's negative and positive and all kinds of, you know, the landscape changes, and that's the journey. And sometimes people think that you are at the very top, and maybe you know yourself that you're not. And at the same time, maybe sometimes people think, oh, you're a has-been, and you also know that that's not true. So, you know, it's really, really important. My big lesson to everyone is about character and about... And that's what these women have, you know, because character is the only thing that you absolutely have 100% control of. You could lose your health, your wealth, your family, everything, your beauty. You could lose everything, including your freedom, but you never lose your character, even in front under torture. So, and what is really the character? It's really the relationship you have with yourself. And that is what all these women have. They know that within themselves is their shelter. Within themselves, I mean, if you're incarcerated, I mean, you know, for 18 years and you have two children with this man, like J.C. Dugard, I mean, how do you actually protect yourself? But she did, because she didn't have a relationship with herself. And she raised those kids in those circumstances like that.
Diane, everything that you're talking about here, and I love just watching your eyes light up as you talk about the strength and the character of these women under such extraordinary circumstances, and I know you have talked about this so many times in your own life. A lot of that seems to be really deeply informed by your mother.
Mm-hmm. So my mother, when my mother was 22, she lived in Belgium, and she was deported. I mean, it was Nazi Germany, and she was doing some resistance work. She got caught, and she was very scared that she would be tortured in order to give the names of other resistance. And so she said, you know, I was just hiding, I'm Jewish, which was true. And the woman there said, Don't say you're Jewish, because they will ship you out. But she did, and she was shipped out. She went to Auschwitz. She stayed in concentration camp for 13 months. By the time she was eventually released, because it was the end of the war, she weighed 49 pounds. I mean, less than her bones. She could barely move. And yet, when she had to fill the questionnaire, you know, name and where you come from, state of health, she wrote excellent health. And she couldn't even move, which explains her character. No matter what, she would never be a victim. And then, of course, she came back, and her fiancé came back 6 months later. They got married. They weren't supposed to have a child. I was born 9 months later. And so my mother really, really taught me, you know, that fear was not an option. She would never allow me to be afraid or to complain or any of that, and never to be a victim. And it took me until it's only when I was about 30, 35, that I understood those seeds were so much ingrained into my personality. And it was a big revelation when I found out. I mean, I found out publicly. I was getting an award. By then I was very successful, and I had invented the wrap dress, and they gave me an award. I went to state, and I didn't even want it, and I didn't understand it. It was the Anti-Defamation League. And then I started to listen to the program, and by the time I got the award, I went on stage, and I said things that not only I had never said, but I had never thought. And I said, well, thank you very much, and you all know me because of, you know, my wrap dress, but what you don't know is that 18 months before I was born, my mother was in Auschwitz. And I couldn't believe that I actually said that. Because I don't like to be emotional or anything like that. And I was shaking, and I couldn't believe I actually said that. I couldn't believe, you know, that that was my reality. But that from that moment on, I knew that it was important that I said it. And so now it's part of my rap. And sometimes, you know, I feel, oh my God, it's almost like taking advantage of my mother's condition, because I talk about it all the time, but yet it's important, and it's, you know.
But you have taken that, and now you use that, you turn around with that, and you identify that in women who, like your mother, have had that
kind
of courage.
That's right.
And who have survived under extraordinary...
And they all remind me of my mother. And I realized that survival is the most extraordinary. The only thing that can compete with pornography is survival stories. Because they are as...
It really gets you, right?
Because they are so gripping and captivating, and they take you to a high and can go anywhere.
Well, there's that saying that people say that, you know, if you've endured and survived, people have two options. You can turn around and say, I got through it, why can't you? Or you can turn around and say, I want to do everything I can to make sure nobody else has to go through what I went through. I want to help people. And that's what I think is the common denominator of the women who win this award.
But just by talking about it, you help people. You know, it's just only by revealing yourself, you help people. Because it's inspiring, which is why I say, you know, the strength to fight, the courage to survive, and the leadership to inspire.
Diane, you mentioned the dress. I can't let you go without talking. No one can ever let you out of a conversation without talking to the dress. I'm sorry, but it's a great dress. It's a great brand. It's a great look that you have built for women for 45 years, where they are still, it's timeless. Like, you've compared it to blue jeans. It's just classic. I read an interview with you where you said that everything you know about life, and I love this, everything you know about women, you learned from that dress. What have you learned about women from that dress, Diane?
Well, because, you know, people say I made the dress. The dress really made me. You know, it paid for all my bills, and it took me everywhere. And also, I was a young girl then, and I, you know, used to go to, you know, do personal appearances and wrapping people around. So I was actually doing social media before there was social media. I was talking, I was sharing my experience and telling women. So I learned about life, and I learned about women.
And continue to do. I love
Thank
that.
You.
You were just saying earlier, you keep learning every single day. There's so much to learn. Keep learning, absolutely.
Well, the more you know, you don't know.
Absolutely. Diane, thank you so much. The DVF Awards are coming up, if you're in New York City, in April, this weekend.
And you'll see them on YouTube.
And you can see them on YouTube anytime you want. Thank you so much. Now, as I'm sure you end every interview, we must wrap. Thank you, Diane. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.